Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa, where we help you tap into your highest selves in everyday life.
Welcome to the Practical Consciousness Podcast with James and Lisa. I'm Lisa.
Hi, I'm James.
Hi, everyone. And we are continuing part two of our discussion about the shadows, about our shadows.
Dun, dun.
Yeah. Last week we talked about our shadows, explaining how our shadows form, how we can embrace our shadows and just live a more free life, being aware of our shadows. And James has been doing some work, some shadow work as of lately. Mm-hmm. So that's why we decided I would interview James and ask him some questions. And I'm very curious because you've been delving pretty deeply into your shadows lately. So it's fresh in your mind.
Yeah, for this latest round, for sure. About 6 months. Yeah, I've been pretty heavy into my shadows.
It's pretty, that's very intense and recent. So
very intense.
You're going to be a great interviewee.
Yeah. Okay.
So what I want to learn about a little bit is your process. How did you discover your shadows? Are you working on, lots of questions are popping up in my mind.
Yeah. Go.
Did you start off with just discovering one shadow, a bunch of, different areas? Do we need to remind, do you think, people what the shadow is? Maybe we need to do that.
I can speak to both. I guess the first thing is, no, I didn't necessarily work on like a shadow per se. I jumped into the shadows right as I went full time as a coach. So first week in January. Okay. And I felt just called based on some of the work I was doing to establish my business to look at ways my old corporate pattern, for lack of better words, needed to change in an entrepreneurial way, right?
Okay, so this motivated you.
That was the motivation. Yeah, that was the reason.
Yeah,
I felt a very strong pull to reestablish a different work ethic.
Okay.
And so
it's completely different. The way you work now is completely different from what you did.
Completely. And I was a bit, I'm not a workaholic. That's not, I'm a very intense worker, meaning that when I say I'm going to do something, then I dive in and I get it done, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I get it made, get it produced, whatever the thing was. And so as an entrepreneur, that's can be potentially dangerous, right? Because, you can get a little bit overwhelmed, I have all these ideas constantly coming, how to get clients, different programs, all that stuff, putting content out.
Setting up your website,
so I could
getting your checking account, establishing your business. There's a lot.
Right. And so if the traditional way for me of jumping in with both feet, I could be one of those classic, I'd be working, 12, 16 hours a day every day.
Yeah.
And so I kind of recognized that was not a sustainable way of functioning. So anyway, basically I had to do some analysis, I guess, of what felt good and more natural and where I had struggled. Right. And so I was working with the coach, Stacey Hartman, at the time. And one of the things we talked about was looking at through the lens of looking back at my work ethic, especially what was a struggle versus what was more in flow.
Okay.
So really the motivation was to work more in flow and less in struggle.
Yeah.
And anyway, throughout that process, I was doing some free associative writing and kind of tap into my intuition to help me see some things. And this message kind of came through really, really clear at the time, which was basically, it didn't really say look in your shadows, but look at the aspects of yourself that needed to basically be revisited. Does that make sense?
So like things that are holding you back or...
Things that I avoided doing in the past or would was afraid of or ashamed of that maybe got repressed or got held back. And I, at the time, I thought to myself, I need to release that energy.
So how do you go about identifying those areas?
Well, okay, so that is... So for me, the thought was releasing the energy, let the energy, instead of, I had read this thing about, the Hindus believe that when you've experienced some sort of trauma or something, that there's this impression that gets left, and that the impression, unless you let the energy flow,
right, it'll get stuck.
It gets stuck, right? It gets stuck in your body.
Yeah.
And then your subconscious works off that stuckness. So that
it tries to protect that area.
Right. And that's the definition of a shadow.
Okay. Got it.
Is that part of you that you've judged or it scared you or you feel ashamed of, whatever it is, and so you repressed it.
So I have a question about that. If when I think of shadow, like in normal terms, I think of things that could be hidden.
Hidden.
So is it possible that you have shadows that you don't even know about?
Yeah,
like
for sure.
Like they're completely hidden from you. So if that's the case, then how do you
hidden? Because I don't think they are actually hidden.
Are they hiding?
You forgot.
You forgot.
Okay. Or you've chosen to not remember.
How do you remember?
Yeah. So in my case, one of the first things I did was, I started working with this thing called the gene keys, and I've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And there's shadows in the gene keys. There's a shadow at each, sphere.
Right. It's not just about shadows. That's an aspect of it.
Right. But it's a pretty important aspect.
Yeah.
And it uses this process called contemplation. And what you do is you kind of sit with, for lack of better words, you give space to be open without resistance to discover parts of yourself that you've been repressing.
Right.
And that you're afraid of it, shame, whatever. Because these are the big, like, scary things. These are the demons that we have in our closet. This is Satan. This is the stuff that if people found
you're
out.
You're scaring me.
Well, but if people found out that you have think that way or whatever, then, you know, you would be voted off the island kind of stuff, right?
Yeah. Okay.
And so you've got to really open yourself up to receive. And you've got to set, you kind of tell your body and your mind and everything. It's like, we're going to do this work and we've got to do this. So in my case, the first obvious step is judgments and attachments.
Okay. We all have those.
Well, we all have shadows. So,
well, yeah.
That's
the clue, because we were talking about maybe you don't know what they are. You're like, well, I don't know what my shadows are.
So I started a judgment journal, and then I was contemplating the gene keys. And there's a couple things that came early on. One of them is that we talked about this in the last session, that having is evidence of wanting. And so the things that we experience right now in our lives is evidence that we wanted something, because we manifest
our attention on it.
We manifest what we want always. It's absolute. And so the other side of this too, I feel like I need to mention is, also I had manifested this nomadic life and this business, and the ability to leave my corporate position pre-retirement and start my own business. I'd manifested the ability to do that. And at the same time, wasn't sure what I wanted to continue to manifest. And so I discovered kind of through my own little process that was an example of where a shadow was holding me back. Because clearly I can manifest when I need to.
Yeah.
But so there's the kind of like this past and now this, you know, the past and now the present. And what in the present do I need to be doing to create the life in the future that I want to be doing? Yeah. Right. And so anyway, I met with the coach and so I kept the journal and did a lot of contemplation and really opened myself up to find my shadows. And for example, one of the shadows in the gene keys that in my life's work, the sphere of my life's work, was this shadow of arrogance, which triggered me immediately, because I view myself as a humble person. That's the story.
You're like, that's not me.
That's the story I've told myself, is I'm a humble person. I'm not arrogant, but I was willing to say, okay, let me just sit with this and allow any sort of arrogance to reveal itself to me. And so immediately, like within seconds of thinking about that, because arrogance by definition is, you know, wanting, it is a kind of a form of selfishness, right? It's all about me. It's about me. It's about me. It's about me. And so I realized that was very actually true, is that in my world, I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to be noticed. I want to be validated. Right.
Yeah. In astrology, I know your chart, that makes sense, because you're a Leo sun.
Yeah, exactly.
And they want to be seen.
Yeah.
Look at me, the Leo, the lion.
And so at first that's very hard, right? Because you're, for whatever reason, I had told myself that arrogance is bad.
Yeah.
And to be arrogant is a bad person.
Yeah. A lot of people see that as negative.
And so
people see that.
Right. And so therefore, that's why it's been repressed.
Right.
And not only has it been repressed, but two sides to every coin, right? We talk about the duality. Mm-hmm. There's two sides to every coin. So if there's arrogance, then the opposite would be humility. Right.
Right.
And so I put on a mask in my life to appear humble. So not only are you repressing the shadow side of, then you're faking the opposite.
Wow.
And if you think about that for a second, take that across your whole life, your whole existence, all those shadows that you're repressing that you don't want to see about yourself.
Yeah.
And then all the masks you're wearing to convince yourself and everybody else you're the opposite of whatever that is.
Yeah. To me, that seems like, how could you even open up to the potential of life that's there for you? How can you even open up if you're faking it? If, you know,
well, that's how you get lost. I mean, that's honestly, that's where you get trapped. that's the feeling of being trapped in life, is that we're a voice inside of our head is constantly telling us that our nature is naughty and bad, and that
we were taught that too.
Right.
Most of us were taught that.
Right. So we're naughty and bad. And so our truth, our honest self is a bad thing.
Yeah.
And that we need to pretend to be, or behave in a way that is more acceptable for ourselves first, foremost, and then for everybody else. We got to convince ourselves first. We're never going to convince somebody else if we don't believe it.
Yeah. So we trick ourselves, and then we put on our mask. And we go out and we trick everybody else. So that's
the second thing I learned is that I'm a really good liar, because I've lied to myself and convinced myself of my own lies.
Yeah.
And so that's the path. I mean, that's what kind of started the process, is sitting with these and then allowing them to be.
Yeah. So I just want to jump in here real quick. You know, all the work that we do in coaching and any, you know, mindfulness teaching or any kind of teachings that we do about embracing the universe, no judgment. Like, a lot of people might be listening to this and even last week and start to feel fear because that sounds really scary, but you do all this in a non-judgmental way. So how did you do that? How did you keep yourself from either freaking out and running away from it or not judging yourself, you know, like saying, yeah, that is right. I am arrogant and what an asshole. Oops, I almost said a bad word. What a bad person I am. And you know, like, how did you prevent that from happening?
That's actually a really good question. And I'm going to answer this kind of in two ways. The first part I'll say is I didn't prepare myself, I think, well enough at the beginning. Because there's one particular shadow that, cause the other technique I do is I sit in a meditation, and you're going to think this is kind of silly, but,
probably not.
I actually visualize myself sitting. I have this when I want to, commune with myself or commune with God or commune with Gus, God, universe, source, in a meditative form, there's this room that I go into. It's
imagination.
Yeah. In my mind's eye, there's this room that has this, it's kind of like a Japanese dojo kind of a thing. It's wood and it's beautiful. And it's got a big pillow in the middle, and I go and I sit on that pillow, and then I have conversations with my guides or with Gus or whoever.
Yeah.
And so I went, I sat on that pillow, and I basically asked myself to reveal my shadows, to let me see what I've been repressing.
Yeah.
And so what I visualized, and it just came to me in the meditation, was I visualized these strings coming from these little doors, and like little mouse doors in the wall, right?
Yeah.
They were different colored strings, and they fan out. So picture this row of little doors on one wall, and then strings fanning out to the pillow. And so I just felt like I was supposed to pull the string and open the little door, because behind the little door is a shadow. And so I, in this meditative state, I opened the door in my mind's eye, and I instantly saw memories, all these memories of when I was not at my best parenting moment with my oldest son.
Mm.
And what was interesting about that particular process was I was able to not only have that memory, but experience the emotion, which was really cool. Cause at the time then I could see what part of where my shadow was playing out in those past memories, right? So for example, maybe I'm yelling at him because he's not getting his homework done, mm-hmm. right? I have a memory of standing there yelling at him. I never really yelled, but I'm lecturing him on the importance of getting his homework done. And as I'm reliving this memory, the realization that my own insecurity of being judged as a dad, of you know, having failed grades or not achieving what I believed he needed to be achieved, was actually what was playing out in that interaction. But what I could also see, which I wasn't able to see at the time, was his reaction. And so the evidence of the shadow playing out, right? Which was, I was hurting him. I mean, I was playing into his shadow. I call it shadow boxing. My shadow was boxing his shadow, right?
We do that in all our relationships. Yeah, exactly. All the time.
Yeah, shadow box.
Shadow boxing. I love that.
And so I got to feel that emotion and just the pure disappointment in myself so I could experience that shadow. And so I stayed in a meditative state, but I was a wreck, and it hit me hard. And I thought, I can't do this by myself because there was no one to support
me. That's what I was just sitting here thinking. I'm like, this sounds like something you, because when I did shadow work, I did work with a practitioner and she guided me.
Yes. Yeah.
To do it by yourself sounds like, you know, it depends on how big the shadow is. Like when you were talking about the judgment journal, you can do that by yourself. But when you go deep, like you just described, it sounds like to me you need to be working with someone who knows how to guide you.
Yeah. I mean, in my case, I do have a pretty good guide in that I'm pretty connected to Gus, God, Universe, Source. Mm-hmm. And so what I was able to do, which maybe everybody can't, is I was able to then turn around and introspectively go back to my writing and say, what just happened? You know, what do I need to do? And so basically going back to the second part of my answer to your original question, which is, you know, how do you deal with that process?
Yeah, without judging yourself.
Without judging yourself.
Hard on yourself.
So the second piece is you kind of, a lot of our shadows are our inner child. There are, a lot of our shadows were formed when we were kids. Mm-hmm. Because you just don't, you don't understand stuff well enough.
Right.
And you relinquish so much power as a kid to adults. And so when you relinquish that power, then you're opening yourself up to be that conditioned person, right? And so what I simultaneously basically played the parent and the child, in the sense that I supported myself in a very loving way, in the sense that, like in that case where, you know, I'm sitting as a mess on a pillow going, I was a crappy dad. Then I was right there for myself at the same time saying, well, yeah, you were. Yeah, of course you were. But you were also an awesome dad.
Yeah. And you were doing the best that you knew at the time.
Well, I'll just caution one thing real quick. If you go into the listeners, if they go into the shadow work, we call it in our energetic leadership work that we do, we call it level 3 energy is a lot of rationalization.
Yeah.
You want to avoid rationalizing. So play in that game with yourself of like using those rationalization words, like you're just doing the best you can.
Well, you got to go to level 3 for a little bit.
No,
you're going to pass through it. You're going to pass through level 3.
Let me give you an alternative, a way to avoid 3. Because this is, I'm glad you actually brought this up, because this is really important. If you're going to work in the shadows and you're going to grow that catabolic energy, because you will, because the reason why you've repressed it is because you want to avoid the pain of it, the fear that comes with it, the blame, the shame, the hurt. There's a reason why you repressed it, because you don't want to experience any of that. Right?
Right.
So if you're going to do the shadow work, you have to allow that experience and not. So level three energy is a coping mechanism for you to further avoid feeling the emotion of the thought that you repressed.
Yeah.
So in a weird sort of way, you want to like not allow yourself to like shortcut the experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's very similar to what David Hawkins talks about in the book, Letting Go, where he talks about when you do recognize, let's say, some tightening in you and there's a strong emotion that goes with it that you've identified, you sit with it and you don't rationalize it. You don't do anything. You don't try to run away from it. You don't try to block it. You don't try to rationalize it. Basically, you don't talk. You just be quiet and sit with it.
Yeah. Give it
because
space.
It's energy and it needs, and it will, you know, it needs to just, it needs its time. But if you add energy to it by saying, you know, pacifying it or whatever you do, blocking it, that's even adding energy to it, then it's still there and it's still got all that energy.
Right. It's a form of resistance and it's a form of avoidance.
Yeah.
It's just a nice way of doing it, right?
Yeah.
And so when I say parent yourself, you're there to support yourself.
Yeah.
But not, because a lot of parents, I mean, in a most caring and loving way, a lot of parents will try to help their child not experience the pain, right? It's part of parenting.
I did it with my daughter.
Yeah.
I always didn't want her to be in pain.
So instead of saying, you know, rationalizing it, basically, you say to yourself something similar. Well, of course, you were a bad parent at times. And of course, you made decisions out of your own insecurities. Mm-hmm. And then, like you just said, but it's okay. It's we're basically, it's like I talked about that void before. This is a process that is going to reveal freedom for you.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're there to hold your own hand and kind of say, it's okay. You've got this.
It's really just holding the space without trying to manipulate it in any way at all.
Yes. Yeah. That's a perfect way of saying that. Yes.
Yeah.
And so then this stuff's coming up and then it comes a point, at least my experience was that comes a point where it's like too much, right? It's like, I'm revealing, I don't want to drink through a fire hose because it's too painful. So you have to give yourself a break. And sometimes that's, just letting, like we were just saying, just let it have its time. Right. And my experience has been like a shadow will reveal itself to me. And I sort of get I call it there's like three levels to the shadow work, right? First, there is acceptance, which is just, accept that is in me.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of us don't even do that. We just hide it. So the process is basically uncover a shadow.
Yeah, awareness.
Aware that it's, well, acceptance. So say, okay, it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then kind of the next phase is to allow it. I guess that I got that was reversed. I guess the first is allow it to be and then accept it, meaning that in a weird sort of way, you actually see some of the, that's where the that's why I say having is evidence of wanting, mm-hmm. because in a weird sort of way, there are some benefits to the shadow. In certain circumstances, it's, you're the one that gave it a bad rap.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
And so you kind of can see the duality in it. And what has happened every single time is you start to see the pattern. The pattern is a big clue. Things that repeat.
Yeah.
Over and over, the circumstances change, but the pattern repeats over and over and over again.
Yeah. That was something I was going to ask you about, is how can you start to identify the shadows? And that is a good way.
Yeah.
You see something that you don't like repeating in your life.
Something that you would look at and you would say to yourself, I don't want this.
Yeah. So you were talking about the process. You identify and you accept.
And then you embrace.
And then you embrace it. And
this is the hard one. Yeah. So the embracing is not something, it's not a mental exercise. It's a physical one. The best analogy I can give is picture your heart beating in your chest, right? Just doing its thing, the ka-thump, 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 ka-thump. And maybe in some of it's going ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. I don't know. But in mine, it's ka-thump, ka-thump. So picture your heart sitting in your chest, pumping blood, doing its job, moving oxygen. And your head, who's, you know, managing your life day to day. Most of us think our heart's, you know, being managed by our brain. Right? That it's the brain's telling the heart what to do, et cetera.
It's the other way around.
Well, so just picture that in your mind's eye that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're doing the shadow work. And so your brain uncovers this memory or this aspect of yourself that you're ashamed of or you're afraid of or that you deny you have.
Yeah.
And so you uncover it and you're like, okay, that's there. And all of a sudden, just picture, play along with me for a minute. Just picture all of a sudden your heart is like, I've got something to add to this. Let me show you something. And so your heart shows you the emotions.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So now you're sitting there with the awareness of it, you're not hiding from it anymore. You're not denying it's there. You're not trying to suppress it. And your heart's showing you why you basically have created this shadow because of the pain, the fear, the shame, whatever it is. And so now you're sitting with probably one of the fewest, rarest times in your life where you've engaged both your mind and your heart. And this is why I love the contemplative process, because the contemplative process, now you're looking at your intuition and you're saying, what do I do with this? So you're in the most open state probably you've ever been, where your mind is not concluded anything.
Yeah.
Or if it has concluded, you see the conclusion for what it is, which is just a thought. Your heart is now saying, well, this is what the reason why you did it. And then your intuition is engaged. And it's hard to explain it in words, but in that space, in that energetic space, you see the shadow the shadow is revealed in its truth. And so what you also see is how repressing the shadow has hurt you.
Yeah.
And how you've built those internal blocks.
Yeah.
And so,
during this whole process, did you do a lot of journaling?
I do. Yeah. I mean, anybody who listens to this, they know that I journal like, at least twice a day. So yes, of course I did. But the contemplative process, we could do a whole podcast episode on contemplation, the art of contemplation. But the whole contemplative process is very much a process in which you're looking at life or looking in the now, the present, with all three of those areas open.
Yeah.
You're not relying on one versus the other. You're not shutting down. So like when we meditate, our brain is engaged, but we're kind of, for lack of better words, we're kind of ignoring it or just observing it, but not giving any kind of credence to it.
Yeah.
And when we're doing yoga or whatever, right, we're concentrating. Our body is very, our heart and our body and our breathing is very engaged. It's concentrated, right? And so contemplation is, it's where you engage it all. So you're not shutting your brain off. You're allowing your thoughts to continue, but you're it's like bringing the three into harmony. You're allowing all to have a voice, I guess.
Yeah.
In the experience, and so that contemplative process is really important because that's where you start to see the archetypes, and that's the other part too. Is if you're willing to see yourself as like having multiple personalities, right?
That sounds scary.
I know, but if you thought of yourself in those terms of there's these roles, that these archetypes that I've created for myself, the father, son, those are just roles that I've created in my mind. A father does, I could list it on a piece of paper. This a good father does these things, fatherhood values. And he doesn't do these things. Oh, you know what? Actually, I didn't even think about it. That is one of the first things I actually did I listed kind of like the main roles that I play, father, husband, son, brother, coach.
Well, that's a good practical tool that people can try if they want to go down this
And then I
path.
listed the things that I thought a good father did and what a bad father did.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take, so
that's
take
a the, really good,
right. Take the list of the bads and contemplate that.
Just contemplate. So it's a good first start. And this is a path that people go down when they're ready to do it. So it's not for the faint of heart.
No, but at the same time, it's not like this. It's not super scary either.
Because of what we talked about earlier about how we're not going to judge ourselves in any way. So that's why I just say you got to be ready. You got to be in the right frame of mind and the right place to do it. But if you do have areas in your life where you have some recurring, instances where you're something that's happening that you're not happy with, that you don't like how it's going.
Right.
Take a look at that and think, okay, well, maybe this is an area where I could look. I'm tired of this. I don't want to repeat this anymore. So let me go down this.
I know this session is going long, but I want to add one other quick thing too. Sorry. That I just remembered to the answer or to the question about being able to not judge. So the other thing I did was whenever I was triggered, whenever I noticed a shadow or I noticed a potential shadow, like I was judging something or I was triggered by something, emotionally triggered, like, God, those idiots or something like that. I as quickly as I could, if you're driving or something, but I go through this kind of sequence of self questions. I'm a coach, right? So that's what I do. The first question I ask of why does it matter, whatever it is. So for example, maybe my wife,
your poor wife, you're always using her as your,
I know, but maybe she like slammed the door and I was like, why does she always slam the door? Right. Well, in that moment, it's like, okay, I'm mad. So obviously something is triggering me right now. Mm-hmm. And so I'd ask myself, why does it matter? She shouldn't slam the door. Why does that matter? And then you get an answer, right? Immediately. It's like, well, because it's going to break the door. It's going to, you know, long-term. Well, why does it matter if she breaks the door? Well, because it's our stuff and we need to take care of our stuff. And why does it matter? We need to take care of our stuff. Well, okay. So I could pause right there and go, oh, well, interesting. Isn't that interesting? I'm obviously attached
to that door,
door, to the
to our stuff,
to the stuff, right? Okay. And so the story I'm telling myself is that, you know, she doesn't care about her stuff. And then it's like, well, is that true? I can't really know that. No, I can't know that. So why does it matter that she cares about our stuff? Right. Well, because we may not have stuff and you got to take care of your stuff so you can have it longer. Well, why does it matter if I have it longer? You get where I'm going?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what's beautiful about why does it matter is you can run that train of thought. You can keep at, it's like why? It's like a 5-year-old going, well, why? Why?
Been there.
Yeah. And eventually you'll get to a point, I swear to you, you'll get to a point where you'll see it. You'll be like, oh, I have a shadow of, it's actually impermanence. I can tell you that that particular shadow I've discovered a while back and it has a lot of nuance to it.
Yeah. I think we've talked about it in one of the podcasts.
And so there's a shadow in me that wants to hold on to everything I have because I don't want to lose it. I'm afraid to lose it.
Yeah.
And so the way that shadow plays out in the shadow part of it is I've repressed this part of me and I put on a face of generosity.
Mm.
And so I pretend I'm very generous, but I'm actually very stingy because I don't want to lose my stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's another really good tool that people can, they can find something like that, that causes them.
You're stingy, James. It's mine, my precious. You tricksies, hobbits, you. And so I wanted to add that in there because once you kind of know that process, then you can go a little bit easier on yourself, a little less judgmental, because you're like, this is just who you are. This is just, we all have these things that we repress and we hold within. And yep. We think we built this story in our head that they're this giant monster, evil villain.
Well, and that nobody else has these thoughts. And
yeah. When we actually shine the light on it and allow it to have its time, you're like, it's just this little mousy thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of silly. Some of them you're like, because I discovered my stinginess came from when I was a kid. This is how silly these things are. When I was a kid, my mom had lots of friends and they would come with their kids and we were forced to play together when we didn't necessarily like each other, and they would break my stuff. They would play with my stuff and they would break my stuff.
Yeah. And I was brothers and sisters. So I experienced that all the time.
I was like, so don't let people play with your stuff because it's going to get broken.
Yeah.
And so a stingy James was formed
at
that little time when I didn't want people to go in my room and play with my stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Good example of the child that forms these different shadows, especially when you're in a situation, which most of us were, where you don't have necessarily the emotional guidance that you need from your parents, whether they were emotionally available or maybe they just weren't even physically available, which in many cases like that, it sounds like in that situation, all the adults went and did their thing and just threw the kids, you know, in a toy room or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a really good example of having.
My experience has been the majority of the shadows that I've discovered formed either early childhood or they formed in early adulthood.
Yeah, most people's have. And a lot of times the ones that form in adulthood are connected to something
trauma
that comes from the childhood. Yeah. So that was a really good discussion. Thank you for sharing your experience.
We went really long. This is probably our longest podcast episode.
It's a good topic, though.
I'm passionate about it.
Yeah, and it's a good topic to talk about. It, you know, a lot of people hear shadow work and they get scared, and so that's why I think it's good to openly talk about it so that people can get a little taste of you know what it's all about. So thank you for sharing your story.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And so our third part of this we were going to talk about give you guys a taste of the process, I guess, at least my experience with it, and then talk about the benefits of doing the work.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we want to go to next.
And so a lot of benefits. Freeing yourself is, yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap it.
Yeah. Yeah. And we'll save that. We'll
for next time.
Yeah. We'll do a drop, a teaser. A teaser.
There you go.
We're going to talk about all the wonderfulness of doing all this work. Your shadows.
Yeah. So thanks everyone for joining. And with that, we'll say goodbye.
Bye-bye.